This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hi everyone, episode 184.
We've seen 184.
Returning
the
guest.
The penultimate
episode. Finally putting it to bed. Returning guest, Bella Hull.
Hi.
You're back.
Hi.
Dressed for, did you wear
a
all
burglary?
Black last time?
I look quite serious.
You do look serious.
I was thinking today as I was getting dressed. But
just before we started, you were telling me how you've just invested in a Curzon.
I have, yeah.
Film. Yeah, you look like a film reviewer.
Do I?
Yeah.
Are you saying I look fat?
Fat and opinionated.
Yeah.
No, you know what I mean? Our reviewers would assume pretentious in their dress sense.
I never went to the cinema, but I love films. And I want to be the kind of person that knows about film.
That says they love film.
Exactly.
You don't put the S in it, you say film.
I want to be the kind of person that says... Actually, no, I don't. I think if you ever say at a party, like, oh, I'm a bit of a film buff,
yes,
instant death penalty. That's
I don't think you should ever...
No, then talk about Police Academy.
Yeah. Have you seen Step Brothers?
What is Police Academy, did you just say?
Yeah, what's Police Academy?
Oh, nothing.
You're too young for Police Academy. What age are you?
It's just some old black
and
white film.
24.
Yeah.
But you won't remember Police Academy.
It's
that's
crazy.
Made me feel
is
sick.
Is it the same thing as like Hot Fuzz?
Yeah, I mean, it was,
no, that's
I
the
would
porn
say,
version.
The OG Hot Fuzz.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? But Police Academy was basically a series of 80s films. Can you check how many there were in the end? Because I remember one to six.
I remember five was in Miami, wasn't it?
Five was in Miami. Six was... I remember
how
up to
so
Mission to Moscow was number six. So
I tailed off a bit towards that.
After number three, I thought they went shit. But I think they carried on a little bit. I think it was about a police academy in I can't remember what American town, and they're all like, the police are trying to drive their new recruits in.
Okay.
And there's six of them in total.
There is six. They did stop at six. Have they done a revival?
89.
No revivals?
No, I don't think they have.
What year were you born then?
1998.
Oh my.
For real?
Word.
That's the last week.
Interesting thought.
Do you remember 9/11?
What were you doing?
Yeah, where were you that day?
So what was I?
What were you wearing?
Was I three?
Yeah.
Two and a half? No, I don't remember.
Depends when your birthday was. What month?
I guess I was just at home. I was in my potato era at that point.
Yes. What a funny thing to imagine being three when 9/11 happened.
Fucking
How old were you when it happened, Lucas?
I was. I wasn't even one.
Were you born?
I was born in 2000.
Oh.
So you're 22, 23.
I'm 22, yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Jesus.
But anyway, so forget Police Academy. But yeah, that sort of film buff thing.
Yeah. And
never ever say you're a buff of anything. This is a rule, isn't it?
Yeah, a buff.
Anyone who's actually intelligent doesn't say how intelligent they are.
Yeah, that's fucked
I keep
I'm not
so
very
quiet.
Intelligent.
That's why I tell everyone. Yeah.
But Julian is very honest when he says that. No, because I love films. I studied film briefly.
Did you?
Well, I went to uni to do film production.
I've watched some.
And I quit uni. I didn't actually complete it, but I was a film...
That's what all the best people do.
But I was a film nerd in my teens.
Why did you quit?
So was I. I was also a film nerd.
So, yeah. So I am still...
What kind of films?
...interested in it.
Well, I did History of Art at uni, so that was a lot of,
waste of time.
Luckily, it's only £9,000 a year tuition fees.
It was
a bargain.
Old French silent shit.
Oh, lovely.
that I like properly studied and did a degree in.
Emily. No, that's
I mean,
Emily,
it's probably a bit mainstream.
That's
like are you into sort of cult
stuff
music?
Like Clemens Poesy stuff. Yeah, that was the kind of stuff. Yeah.
Have you seen? So basically, before
Fellini.
Fellini,
is that a
Fellini
geezer?
Was the Italian. Is he Italian, wasn't he? Fellini.
Yeah, Fellini. Yeah. Sure.
You're pretending this you is know
really
Fellini.
This is showing me up as a fucking thicko.
But so this week I watched The Banshees of Inisherin and Another Round, two very good films. And have you seen
it's
it?
It's about Anyone's an alcoholic teacher.
Them?
Is it?
So Another Round, it got nominated for best like international film at the Oscars last year. Mads Mikkelsen, I think, got nominated for an Oscar for it for best actor. But it's a Danish film about four male teachers in their sort of midlife crises.
Okay.
And then basically they just come up with the dumbest idea to try and, you know, give themselves a bit of a pep up. And it's so funny and brilliant.
Do they fuck?
But
is it drink until they're dead?
No, it's not. It's basically one of them has read a study that says it moots the idea that humans are actually they're running at an alcohol deficiency. And actually our optimum alcohol level in our blood system is 0.5. So they just come up with this fun idea where they all basically exist at that level of drunkenness. So they're at work, right. Four teachers.
They keep topping up.
They keep drinking at work secretly. And obviously their lives get so much better because they're all miserable and depressed and they're in a midlife crisis.
Pissed.
Suddenly they're all a bit pissed at work. So their teaching gets better.
But that has an end to it though, doesn't it?
Well, obviously the film shows the danger of doing something like that and how it can develop. And it's just one of the
great
best films. It's a brilliant film and it's really well done and I loved it so much. And then I watched The Banshees of Inisherin and it's...
What was that like?
Brilliant.
Straight afterwards.
Well, did you watch that on your TV?
I watched it
cinema?
On yes, and it's on because it's on what you call it, the Disney
TV.
Plus. Disney Plus.
Is it long as fuck?
No, not really. It's actually a relatively short film, but it's very.
I don't know why I presume
very
it was
Irish.
Like 3.5.
Films are generally too long, though, aren't they?
At the moment, I would
say. Wrap it up in it.
Like,
a nice
what
20.
Happened to like a? Yeah, what happened to just a 20-minute? Burst,
or even like an hour and 21 minutes.
An hour
fine.
And 21 minutes is the perfect length for a film.
Yeah.
But it depends on how good it is. Like, I love a long film if it's really good.
No. See, Shawshank maybe can get away with it.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, can actually. But I think there's a way. I've watched films that are way.
I
watched The Irishman
Avatar.
In one go. And that's how long's The Irishman?
Oh, The Irishman's like 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I watched that in one go. And I didn't, I didn't even consider it being long. I'd really, just, I was
have
just
you
so
seen
into
Avatar,
it.
The new Avatar?
I haven't seen it.
Long good. As fuck.
Yeah, the first one was long as well, actually. I remember
but
that.
I found it very long because it's not really the kind of thing that I'm into.
Well, look, no one's into it,
it's
but everyone goes to see it.
Yeah, it's just a bit freaky. Like, it's just a bit, the story was a bit Marvel.
Yeah.
It was like Marvel, but everyone's blue.
Yes. I do like the fact there's this weird, slight rivalry between people that like Avatar and people that like Marvel films. You know what I mean? People that love Marvel
are fucking
weirdos.
It's just the saddest rivalry around, really.
Well, because Marvel, like, there's that thing of everyone says, people that love Marvel are always moaning about how Marvel never gets any, like, Oscar nominations. That's because it's a fucking kids film.
Why do they give a fuck, though?
Because it's their...
film.
But they've attached themselves to it, haven't they?
But why on earth would a Marvel film get... Has a Marvel film ever been nominated for an Oscar?
I think...
Yeah, Black Panther.
Black Panther got the best film.
Got best
nomination.
Picture.
Year? No.
No, it's when it came out.
The first one got best picture.
But there is an actress from the new Black Panther film has been nominated for best actress.
She got best supporting role.
Oh, is it best supporting, yeah. Yeah, so that's. I think she's the first actress from a Marvel film to ever get a nomination.
Yeah.
Well, they're just shit.
Are they? Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. They're shit.
They're just. They look so expensive.
Yes.
But I kind of think this about like when comedy gets into like big blockbusters, is it always loses a bit of its funniness.
Yeah.
I think comedy in films,
they
film
focus
has
on
to be,
production. It's like music, isn't it? Overproduced.
Whereas they always lose a bit of the, because I think for comedy, I think for something to be really funny, it has to be a little bit shitty.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, like the environment.
Can I have that for my poster?
A little bit shitty.
A little bit shitty. But do you know what I mean? Like, have you seen Little Miss Sunshine?
Yeah.
So fucking funny because
I've not seen it.
The car's squeaking the whole time.
Yeah.
And they're like, they're not that rich. I think really
raw.
Rich.
It's raw.
Yeah, it's so raw.
But yeah, I mean, you should. I'd recommend The Banshees of Inisherin. It's very funny, but then gets very dark quite quickly. But it's
but
just
Colin Farrell's in it.
He's so good in it. The whole cast,
I don't really warm to him. I don't know why. I think it's like a poor man's Downey Jr.
He's way better than Robert Downey Jr.
You reckon?
As an actor, he is 100 times the actor.
I don't know why.
I don't get me. I like Robert Downey Jr. He's a fun Hollywood actor. But he's a Tom Cruise style actor.
I don't like these actors when they're interviewed.
He's Marvel.
Yeah.
But Colin Farrell was an actual actor. Like he's done
Colin
a lot.
Colin Farrell's doing some serious shit.
He
auditioned for Boyzone.
Who did?
Colin Farrell.
Imagine him in Boyzone.
Isn't he Irish every time though, Colin Farrell?
What do you mean Irish every time?
He's Irish every time he
does. Well, no, he is now. He's actually reverted back to doing mostly, because he works with that Martin McDonagh a lot. And you know,
who's going out with Fleabag?
Who? Martin McDonagh is? Colin Farrell is?
They got divorced.
Really?
Oh, they got divorced.
I think they got divorced.
I didn't know they got married.
Yeah,
I didn't know any of this information at all.
Shit.
But Colin Farrell went through a phase of being a Hollywood star. Remember he did? He was in Alexander, played Alexander the Great.
In Bruges
was when he sort of reverted back to being Irish almost. Before that, he had this weird 10-year period of being like a Hollywood.
He was in the Batman star, as well, which only came out last year,
which I didn't like.
And that got nominated for some Oscars.
That was shit as well. I thought it was dog shit.
I can't.
Did you see it?
Yeah, it was alright.
It's just too much. It's miscellaneous male content to me.
No, but it was pointless. There was no point to it. It was exactly the same as the last lot of Batman film, the Christopher Nolan ones.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why have they made this? Basically, made the same film again, and it's 3 hours long. And it's boring as shit. Anyway, basically, I don't like superhero films.
I think it's boring. I think the real world is interesting enough.
It's true. Real superheroes.
That jumper did a lot of heavy lifting on that sentence. Anyway, has anyone tried one of these blueberries? They're the shittest blueberries
I've ever had. I just brushed my teeth before I got here, so I'm worried about it.
When you brush your teeth, you can't eat fruit anymore.
Well, I'm just worried about the acid and the toothpaste creating a disgusting taste in my mouth.
Right, yeah.
They're just dead, aren't they? Nothing to them whatsoever.
It's more mush than bitter.
It's not even the consistency.
There's no flavour.
Absolutely no flavour. And they're a Waitrose blueberry, which makes me even... Have you tried them, Lucas?
Take them back.
Would you like to try a very average blueberry?
Yes.
This is podcast gold, this bit.
You're right, they're bad.
There's nothing to them.
Grapes are like splendid.
Yeah, the grapes are unbelievable. Guys,
is it bad juju to eat on a podcast?
I mean, I would, if it is, then we've had 184 bad juju episodes. So welcome to the bad juju podcast. So what have you been up to since we last saw you? You did Edinburgh.
Fuck,
that's how long. Yeah, it's pre-Edinburgh last
how
time
was Edinburgh
you.
Like a waking nightmare.
Was it?
Oh, you and Julian will have a similar opinion on it.
No, have you done Edinburgh?
Some people hate it. He hates it. I've never liked it.
I think when I go, I'm like in two minds about whether I go again.
This year.
Yeah. Just because like I don't at the moment have like a completely concrete idea of a show.
Yep.
I'm going to have to work my tits off to get there.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy it, but that was my fault.
Right.
Because I didn't let myself have any fun, didn't let myself spend any money.
What's fun? Like going out?
Going out. Just
you didn't,
like,
so you weren't, you were doing
coke off of toilet seats. Mm. Like I didn't do any of that shit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, out. Oh, I have to.
For a debut year, you missed out.
I missed out.
What did you do? Go home every night?
Yeah, literally.
Work on the show?
No, not even work on the show. Just like go home and sort of preserve myself, but in doing so like made myself so depressed and also got the loneliest I've ever been in my whole life.
Yeah,
because I wasn't really, all of the interactions I was having, even though I was hanging out with loads of people, they were all like, hi, how are you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah
that's what it is up there though.
Yeah,
because everyone's so obsessed with what's going on that they can't have a normal conversation.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't have a normal conversation for a month, but I learned a lot. I definitely became a better comedian.
Yes.
I also probably became a much worse person in general.
That also does happen,
but that's kind of the
they grow concurrently.
I'll do it again, I guess, it's a real ratio. I also hope that I'll give less of a fuck now because I've sort of done it.
Yeah,
I've done it once, so I'm like, well,
that was your first one.
Yeah, that was my first one. Yeah. And it was just like so stressful, and now I'm like, I know when people are talking shit. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Yes.
I know what's a waste of money. I know what's a good use of money. I know that it's half luck and half who you're having sex with. And, you know, that's it.
There's a lot. This is the thing. There is a lot of factors. And also, especially, I think debut year is the one that you're most likely to potentially not enjoy as well.
Oh, yeah. Because,
you
know,
I think you do. But yeah. And also, you put way more pressure on yourself than you actually need to.
Oh yeah, and the pressure is so counterintuitive.
Because the debut year,
it makes you less funny.
Well, yeah, because like the pressure on that first year, and it is real pressure. I'm not saying it's all bullshit, but like, because you know, the fact of the matter is, there's only ever what 50, 100 debut shows, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And you naturally cannot help but think, I want to be in the top 10 and potentially get a nomination. You'd be mental to think that.
Exactly. Otherwise, why are you going? Why are you spending so much money?
But the moment you're out of that debut year and you're doing normal years,
you're
mental if you think you're going to get a nomination. It's such a potluck thing of you're suddenly up against 1,000 or 1,500 shows. So, you know, even though I have to hand that nomination. But I'm not. the odds are against you, but it does happen sometimes.
That monologue was just to say that.
Yeah, it was. Also got a newcomer, but let's not get into it.
No, but, it's not about me.
No, it's fine. It's not about the award. Like, no, what I mean is, but I never, I was so shocked when I got a main award nomination because it wasn't even, I hadn't even contemplated it as a thing that year. And also because that year
I saw it on your dream board. Yeah. It's on your Oprah vision board.
He thinks the lady protests too much.
I saw that note fall out of my Deepak Chopra book.
candles. Talking to the universe on Arthur's seat every night.
Is that the secret you're carrying?
Walking around holding the secret.
It was a pure shock.
It wasn't even in my peripheral.
Have you watched The Secret on Netflix? It's the most.
I've not only watched it. I think I read it out of like I did sort of hate read of it. Like,
but I feel so complicated about The Secret because I know that it is actually true. But then when you see people, I watched the documentary like the first 10 minutes and it was like this zooming in and out like pyramids and like an eye, and it's like I'm not.
It was a lot of PR and like
that's fucking mental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean when you say it is true.
Like, if you really intend to do something,
but that,
you're more likely to do it.
Whether it's the universe or, you know, your intention, the power of the brain intention, all your actions are being aligned with it.
Exactly.
This is what I was telling Lucas before you both got here about a podcast I've been listening to called
TVI.
If Books Could Kill. And it's a really good podcast series where two journalists take a popular book that they do The Secret actually, but I haven't got to that episode yet. But they take popular books that are pop science or something like that, and they basically debunk it and take it down.
Yeah,
and like, so they did Freakonomics. I don't know if you ever read Freakonomics.
Yeah, I read that when I was doing my A levels.
And I bet because I was saying I read it probably in the mid 2000s, whatever. And I just believed every word of it.
Oh,
and
is it not true?
Well, no, most of it's absolute bullshit.
I used to use anecdotes from it in like house parties.
Exactly what I was saying. I've been in pubs
for my
going,
whole
like,
life.
You know, like the abortion
cocaine kitchen.
The famous one is abortion caused the crime drop. In America, in the 90s of America.
Less criminals existed.
Less criminals were
born. I mean,
born.
It makes sense, but...
But it's actually... Not
the ratio of crime.
No, so the book just, basically...
It was two less car things.
Yeah.
Because babies were dead.
Well, that's it. So the book suggests, like, that's it. That's across the board.
It's stealing less prams.
But there's also... They also do Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers, which is the famous one where the 10,000-hour rule comes from. You ever heard that?
What did they say about that?
It's based on one faulty study. Like, it doesn't cut it. Like, and it's based on a number pulled out of someone's
ass. But no one thought that it was 10,000 hours. Once you get to that, you're a genius.
No. But the book does say that the 10,000-hour rule...
I'll do it in 1 hour.
So the book doesn't...
4-hour work week.
But the book basically sort of moots that no one's a genius at something until you've done 10,000 hours. And that's just bullshit. There's no truth.
It
says... But there's because they point out the lies where it says, like, no one's ever been a chess grandmaster in less than 10,000 hours. And they literally point out, like, there's like four or five people that were chess master, grandmasters
studies
at 12.
Are such...
You know what I
mean? Yeah.
And like,
young kid just got accepted to Mensry's 4.
What?
What's that?
4 years old.
I bet I get accepted.
To men?
not men clap, Mensa. not the men's.
What was I going to say about study? Oh, yeah. You know, all the studies about, like, it's healthiest if you eat breakfast.
Yes.
Actually,
They are all funded by Kellogg's.
Yeah.
Studies.
Right.
It's actually not healthier. Trying to sell... When cereal. They come up with that, but not just that, like bacon and stuff.
Yeah.
It was that industry that told you that you have to eat breakfast.
Right.
Since I've not
But what if I, because I tend to eat, like if I'm eating, today I had some fruit for breakfast.
I had a smoothie
So surely Kellogg's have funded a study that has basically made me eat rival foods. So that's backfired on them, ultimately.
Yeah,
their units still go up a bit.
I suppose, yeah. It's but yeah, no. It's always, that's the thing. Yeah, most studies, you know, not you have to really look at a broad.
And I can't be fucked to do that. So I'm just going to believe.
That's why I read pop science books.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I listen to a podcast to debunk what I've just read.
Like, if a book is being pitched to me, I will just buy it. I have no critical thinking skills anymore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If there's a novel that's like, this is the zany new thing, and it's on I'm just gonna be like, yeah, okay, and I'll buy it, and I'll think that I'm special.
Yes.
That's all right, though, isn't it?
I used to be better than that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm reading one at the minute that is guaranteed to be end up as a episode of this podcast.
What is it?
It's called Stolen Focus by Johan Hari. Have you read any
is
of his books?
Is it self-help?
No, not at all. It's basically a book about how sort of the modern age and social media and phones and everything is just destroying our ability to focus and have any attention.
I want to get that.
And
it's
a very compelling book, but it is very
soft focus.
Stolen Focus.
Stolen Focus.
It's this Johan Hari is a guy who wrote Chasing the Scream. It's quite a controversial book about mental health and.
What's his point?
I mean, most of the stuff he says is ultimately relatively true. No, mental health crisis. He basically puts down to a loss of community, a loss of communication. Like, rather, you know, it's that thing of we're not living in accordance with how we should for optimal mental health.
Mm.
And
he's not talking about like schizophrenics, like more like everyday.
No, he's actually.
Health,
I mean, like, he does actually go into like a lot. Obviously, there's extreme cases, but on the whole, most people, it's circumstantial. All he's saying is most mental
less
health
bipolar
problems are
in like poorer countries, isn't there?
Yes.
Like, it's a Western issue, isn't it? Like ADHD,
also,
bipolar.
Yes. General levels of happiness.
Trans
and
joke.
Well,
I could say that.
I was like. That was crazy.
But yeah, that's.
I think we need to get some crystals in here, as soon as possible.
But that, it covers in the book. He covers that.
Right.
He covers that whole thing about why is it that the mental health crisis is much more pronounced in richer countries that live in less small community. Like, you know, if you go to sort of poorer countries, they tend to still live in a much more traditional way. Of, like,
what's that hierarchy thing called?
What you mean.
Something pyramid of needs.
Yeah,
but it's called Mamama.
Someone's hierarchy.
Someone's
needs.
Hierarchy.
What's the name?
Where you get all your needs met.
And it's like shelter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Food. Pum Pum.
What's his name? What's the geezer who came up with Pum Pum's top of the tree?
Pum Pum's all of them. Booby. Batty. Left nipple. Right nipple. Throat. Then food, a little blueberry on top. A little strawberry.
It's called Maslow's.
Maslow's hierarchy.
Yes.
There we go.
What are they? Can you talk us through
them
briefly?
Yeah. Let me just pull it up.
Pull it up, Jamie.
Pull it out.
It's, what? So it goes psychological needs, so air, water, food, shelter.
I mean, they're
like
not
that.
Psychological.
Yeah, they're very much elements.
Physiological. I'm just
think about them and you'll be all right.
I think I need food. physiological, sleep, clothing, reproduction, pum pum.
Mm-hmm.
Safety needs is the next tier. So it's
condoms.
Personal security, employment.
Flick knife.
Resources, health, property.
Van.
Then the next one is love and belonging. So friendship, intimacy, family, sense of connection.
I might put that on my wall and just make sure they're covered every day.
Mm.
Yeah. And then next
and
one.
Knock one out. Have a coffee. Have an espresso.
The next one is esteem. So respect, self-esteem, status, recognition, strength, freedom.
Nailed.
And. And then,
tick.
And then the top one is self-actualization, so the desire to become the most that one can be.
Man, this is good, isn't it? Mm. That's better than The Secret.
I want to self-actualize. Yeah.
What,
right.
So what? So what would that mean?
I think it means like
it says achieving one's full potential.
Full potential.
Well, yeah. But then I suppose
so getting to your optimum level of success.
You have
success,
to,
like, but success is obviously a objective.
Yeah.
Term. Subjective term. Sorry. So yeah. So like, what are you thinking success in?
So what would be your actualized version of you?
I think like actually taking care of my health.
What would that
instead
feel
of
like?
Ignoring it?
What does that look like?
Have a blueberry.
I mean, you're saying you regret not sniffing coke off a toilet
seat. Yeah, that is true. Well, maybe that would be. I think my self-actualization is just writing more, gigging more.
Yeah.
But is that?
But that's
like,
day to day. Like that's what I mean.
To what end?
Yeah, exactly.
Self-actualization. I think you split.
I think it is deeper than that.
Of course, it is.
I think it's accepting that I probably do have ADHD.
Maybe.
I don't think you're going deep enough.
Yeah.
Well, what do you? Because
I think of that when they say self-actualization. I think of it purely
don't
spiritual.
No, really.
spiritual terms. I'm thinking. I don't mean spiritual as in like God and shit. I'm talking about spirit. That sense of general well-being.
Stopping comparing myself to other people.
Yeah, that's a good start.
Accepting the limits of who I am. Yeah, accepting my height. One. Accepting that I'm short.
Yeah.
That'll be good. I don't know.
But you said what
am
you
I
don't,
getting
you,
a brow lift?
But you said all. you said all the things what you don't want.
Yeah.
What you want? You said all like negative things.
I want, but then it's like, what do I want that is has been drilled into me that I should want, the and best, what do I actually?
Yeah, exactly.
Want?
That's the soul search.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's what I mean. I think of it purely in that sense of, I suppose, like a level of zen and peace is what I've always wanted, and I actually think, you know, I'm not far off it. I'm not. That's not like enlightenment time. I'm talking about. I am now so much more happy and chilled 24 hours a day than I ever have been.
Why is that?
No, I think it was before that. I'd say mid-30s, I sort of hit this. You know, and it took a good 5 years of hard work.
Yeah.
But I did reach a point where most things don't bother me at all. Like nothing, I find it very hard.
Crying, like sort of whatever.
But that's what I will say. That sort of like all the work I put in before my daughter was born has made me such a calm parent.
That's so good. Well, that's what they say is that if you don't sort out your own shit, you are just going to give it.
Well, because it can be stressful, especially I'm a toddler, man. They don't want to do.
Fuck yeah.
So what you've got to constantly do is just remind yourself that it ain't about you.
They're
doing their own thing. And sometimes you've got to take yourself out of it and be like, yeah, they're upset in a minute because.
Because you whack them in the face.
But you know what I mean? Because they can't work it. Their brains are physically not capable of understanding like, why they're upset often.
Yeah.
Mm. And so instead you can't be like, stop crying. You can't do any of that because
just explain the hierarchy of needs to them.
I'll
give them a copy of The Secret.
They just want what they want.
So you've
just got
to step back and just let it
just give
be
them
and just give them
There's
comfort.
There's something so beautiful about like the simplicity of what kids want, which is like food and socialization and play and the cozy time.
Very needy.
Yeah.
Like I tutor there's a comedian whose child I tutor.
Oh,
and
really?
Which comic?
James Gill.
Yeah, I know James.
So I tutor
him. Tutor him in what?
I don't tutor him. I tutor his.
You tutor him in parenting.
James in comedy. So what do you mean?
I help her with her math and English.
How old is she?
That's what I was asking.
She is 7.
Okay.
So it's piss easy.
Well, for her it is. But she always...
Your patience are running thin.
English, she's fucking great. Her imagination is amazing. Cool. And then math, whenever we do... I hope that James is okay with me saying this about his daughter. Whenever we do like a slightly more difficult issue, she doesn't really want to do it, she's very clever. And she says, I need the loo. And she goes, the loo, comes back, and then she goes...
Hour later.
She goes...
Loads of coke around her nose.
I've had diarrhea.
Really? And she's
serious. She says it really seriously.
That's smarter than being able to do 2 + 2.
Yeah, yeah.
That's life skills.
I would say James strikes me as a very good, fun dad.
Yeah, he's a great
dad. In terms, when you he's say his dad. Child would have a good imagination, I reckon he's a fun dad.
Yeah, I want to cry every time I walk into his house because the atmosphere in there is
it's
jumping.
Great. Oh, yeah.
It's great atmosphere in his house.
I absolutely could see that.
Yeah. He's got two little girls.
He's a good egg.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? But yeah, that is the thing with like, you know, you've got to just play with them. That's all you got to do is play is the main thing.
And then that's actually teaching you to be able to play as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I was like a receptionist and did temping jobs alongside comedy for a couple of years. And it was so hard to go out of the adult world into the comedy world.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's so much easier now I work with kids instead, because I'm kids and comedians are actually quite similar.
Yeah, we've got the same level.
Same penis size.
Exactly. Everything's the same. Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's fun though. When you're like, if you're there are some days when the games can wear thin, don't get me wrong. Like,
yeah.
And you just know. Snap and flip the table.
But you can't, obviously you can't, but like you just have to, you're playing a game that in your head you're like, I cannot wait for this one to end.
Yeah.
You know, at the minute, my daughter's obsessed with, there's a cartoon called Spidey and His Amazing Friends, which is basically, they've made a Spider-Man cartoon for basically sort of toddlers and very young children.
Sure.
So it's not, you know, kids who are getting to probably
Spidey
7
and
or 8.
His young friends.
Spidey and His Amazing Friends.
Oh.
So they've basically...
young friends.
They've basically shrunk them down and given them big heads.
Right.
So, but it's good fun. And for some reason, she just saw a bit of it on the telly in the background one day and just...
She's obsessed.
Instantly loved it.
How old is your daughter?
2.5. Oh. And then she now is upset. Like, I'd say... 30 times a day we have to play Spidey and His Amazing Friends, where
don't have to watch it though, do you?
No, we're not watching it, we're just playing in the house. She's Spidey. I had to be Spin, which was like one of his amazing friends. But in the last sort of week, I have to be Black Panther constantly. I'm not gonna lie. We're in the privacy of our own house. I do the accent. Right? We're playing the game. You've got to inhabit the character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's Spidey. I'm Black Panther. We've got to run around and do missions in the house. And like, yeah, that it's when the first few games we're playing, it's amazing. But then when we get to like the eighth time round running around the house, I often find myself in my head thinking, I start trying to sort of sow seeds of other games to play, like how about we play this game or do this or do this,
because I'm just trying to stop being racist.
Well, there is that, yeah. I'm like, can we, this is problematic. But I
you're like, why is my kid enjoying this so fucking
yeah,
much?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why has she never laughed like this before?
I love it, but then there does come a point when you're like, please pick a different game. I'm just starting to just, because you end up just replaying the same game.
Yeah, like, and they don't get bored.
Half an hour, they don't ever get bored.
They never get
they'll
bored.
Just,
they
they'll just have fun, and then the next thing they'll think of something else to play.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just...
It's nice though. I love it. It's better that, like, what else is there to do better than that? Apart from loads of stuff. Apart from everything else but this shitty game. Am I fucking retarded? No, it's nice that
it's
I do that.
It's way better.
I find when
else.
I immerse myself in it and like just, all right, it's nice memories, isn't it?
Well, it's just better than anything. I do actually think it's better than anything else I'd be doing during the day.
Like, Ren's got this thing. I did it since she was about 2, and she says... like, I turn into a freak and I just go mad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, but she says freak, 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 and yeah. I become a freak. Like, but I go ballistic. Yeah. Like, I rough her up. I turn into these, like, worse than Pennywise.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But since, like, when I was 2, I could shock her easily. Like, just jump.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
As she's 9 now.
I didn't... dial it up.
Yeah. I have to dial it. I have to go fucking nuts. Like, I grab her by her hair and in her ear, I'm going, you... Like, I'm just going mad. Because it's the only thing can shock her. But at any time, she's got, like, a safe word.
Yeah.
She can say, like, dad, 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 and I turn back.
Okay. Right.
And I pretend I don't know what's happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But when we're at swimming, like, she'll... She tried doing it in public. I'm like, I can't do it. Because I did it for a second. I'm like, no, this just looks fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Beating the shit out of this kid. Just grab her by her hair. Like, I have to be so violent.
Oh, my God.
Like, but not actually hurt her, but just like...
It'd be really shocking.
Yeah, really jolt her. Like,
yeah.
She
yeah.
has to be scared or it's not fun.
That's probably a good sign. That probably shows that she's really, like, has a good... Because I... hate being scared.
No, really. Do you?
Yeah, I fucking hate it.
Really?
My one of my flatmates really wants to see Megan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, fuck no.
So you don't, oh, right, so you
I
don't
see
like, even
the teaser
like horror
and
films.
I won't be able to even
is that
look
little,
outside my window.
Is that the little
me.
Robot girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry about scaring you.
It worked though. It worked. Yeah, yeah. I'm so on edge.
I was in freak mode.
Just getting out of character. Just shake it off.
I get so excited by it though. It's really fun.
The thing is, it does. I think that is more conducive to being like a good comedian in the evening than like would you like a glass of sparkling water? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Being actually able to play all day is so good for you as an adult.
Mm. Oh, definitely. Silly. It's fun being silly. I often I do have that thing of, like you say, in public. Obviously, if you're doing a game where it could look bad for public, right? But, often have this, I always try and be silly with her in public as well as at home. Like, I don't want her to think the moment there's people around,
secret,
can't mess around. I almost want to instill in her this idea, it don't matter, mate. As long as you're not annoying, as long as you're not doing anything that is
really
infringing
loud
on other people. Yeah. I'll never, if it's too loud, I'll say, we just need to be a bit quieter, there's people around. But
yeah.
I'm not going to suddenly, the moment we get outside, just not play the games. Mm. I'm still in the game mode.
The other day I picked Run Up from school, it was so funny. And we're walking towards my car, and she said, "Okay, pretend you're a stranger, and walk bit behind me." And I'm walking behind her, and there's people around. She said, "All right, now tell me to get in the car." And I'm like, "Ren, I can't. The people will think it's weird. Just tell me to get in the car." But she was looking at me oh, sheepishly. It was such a weird role play. I had to fucking pretend to abduct her.
Quality.
I got in so much trouble when I was four because my granddad, God bless his soul, came to pick me up from reception, and I just told everyone I had no fucking idea who he was.
that's funny.
That's good.
Four, yeah. That's young.
Yeah. I think I didn't like him because he called me
belly
bags.
Is that why he died?
He called you?
Belly bags. That
belly
was his
bags.
Nickname for me.
Why?
It's a terrible nickname.
Fat, I guess. Fat Uncle Bella. Oh, checks out, doesn't it?
We talked last episode.
Why were you fat?
When you were fat when you were young. I remember that now. We had a big chat about teenage.
Just because I ate too much.
I was only joking when I said that. That's the real problem in this.
Right, let's do some questions. Here we go. Ella said she saw you in Edinburgh and she was you were great.
Oh, that's really nice. Thanks, Ella.
Her question is, how do comedians come up with the names of their tour shows / Edinburgh shows? What was your show called?
Baby Cakes.
That's a good name. And what was it?
I think it was a name that I gave it because I was like, I don't know exactly what this show is.
Yeah. What were you going to call it? Do you remember you told me?
I was going to call it either Baby Cakes Express, or I wanted to call it, I had loads of really good names in my head. I wanted to call it Thought Experiment.
Okay.
I wanted to call it MILF Pending. I might call that, my next show MILF Pending.
Yes.
I think that's quite a good name.
Yeah.
But I don't want to waste that name on a show that's shit. So yes. I'll see how good I feel this
year.
Give
it to someone else.
What do you want to do a show?
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Call it MILF Hunter.
MILF Slayer. Turn up at MILF's house, it's like the pedo hunters. And you're all right for your age.
To catch a MILF. I think.
Door stopping MILFs outside Asda.
MILF Slayer.
but it's a name, naming shows, it depends, innit? I think the Baby Cakes is an example. I 9 times out of 10, I call my shows a sort of vague enough title that it doesn't say what the show's about.
Right, it's intriguing.
When you die, this wasn't comedy, no.
So my debut show was called Relax Everyone, it's Carl Donnelly. And then my follow-up show was called How Do You Solve...
Sorry about that last show.
It was called How Do You Solve a Problem Like Carl Donnelly.
Okay.
Third show was called Carl Donnelly 3, Carl Donnelly, yeah?
Okay.
Number four was...
So they're all puns on the name.
Yeah, number four was Now That's What I Carl Donnelly.
Okay, that's fucking funny.
It was actually called Now That's What I Carl Donnelly Volume 4, I think.
And were they all over 4 consecutive years? Did you take any years off?
No, I never took a year off.
Wow.
And then... the first
you
one
must have done about 12.
I've done about 11. So, no, I've done 12 if you include ones I've done in Australia and not in Edinburgh.
What, 12 different shows?
Different hours, yeah. And then, but the first one I think I named that was this is what the show is about was The Nutter on the Bus. And that's the one I did on the bus.
That was called Nutter on the Bus?
Yeah, The Nutter on the Bus, and I did it on the Blunderbus in Edinburgh.
Oh, shit.
And then, year's show.
That was a whole month you did it on the bus?
Yeah.
Fuck and it. This what
year's
was that like?
Show, it was great, I loved it.
And what was your favourite show that you did and why?
Oh, I don't know. I think, do you know what? It was probably that one, actually, the bus one. Mm. It was so fun and such a change
wacky.
Of pace.
Yeah.
And Yeah, but this year's show is the second one I've ever named that's about, right, this is what the show's about.
Sure, okay.
And yeah, so like, I think, to answer the question, you sort of name it based on whether or not it's got a definite theme and you think I need a title that's got a theme in it, or you keep it vague and have it just quite a fun name in it that people just go, oh, that sounds fun.
Like a vibe.
Yeah, like Joe Lycett's very good with the old pun titles, isn't he?
Yeah, well, Hull's quite good.
Oh, yeah,
Incredible Hulk.
Yes.
The Incredible Hull.
Yeah, yeah.
Hullabaloo, that makes me want to die with cringe. So obviously that's never going
to happen. That's not bad. That seems like a good like sixth show or something, like a big...
Yeah.
Bat out of Hull,
yeah.
Yeah.
Hull hath no fury.
Ooh.
Boom, got it, write it down.
True.
That is either.
Making a mad one.
If you don't mind.
No, I'm all right. It's
making a mountain out of a molehole.
Yeah. I like that.
I'll die on this hole.
That's quite funny. Yeah. I'll die on this hole. I haven't got my phone with me.
Oh, okay. You don't bring your phone out often, no.
It's in my coat pocket, which is actually it's right there. But anyway.
So I hope that answers Ricard's question.
That's good because
I'll die on this hole.
Yeah.
That's good. Jagu says, following the very real threat felt by illustrators, artists, writers and content creators generally, what is comedy's reaction to the rapid growth and use of artificial intelligence? Can you be sure you'll always be funnier than a robot?
Yeah, robots aren't funny.
I mean, yet, but I don't know. What the, like...
If you're laughing at a robot, that's your problem.
But have you seen this chat... GPT, what's it called?
Yeah.
Lucas, you seem like somebody
with GTP.
Yeah, so...
You can't get jokes out of it.
But I reckon you can get jokes out of it. But
good jokes.
All right.
Can you do it live? Can we do it live in the moment?
Yeah.
Can you bring it up on the... You can't get it up on the screen, can you?
Yeah.
Can you get it on the screen? Let's have
a go at it.
Like, so basically this is you ask it a question and then you... And it just does it. What do you want to write a joke about?
You could say, write an essay about this, and it does.
Why don't we write a joke? Bad blueberries? Not bad blueberries. What would you say? Like a sort of disappointing blueberry? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Can you write chat GTP?
Well, I'm just trying to load it up.
Okay, sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. Got excited.
It's not allowing it. It's trying to silence us, guys.
Is it?
It's the Matrix, isn't it?
Exactly, mate.
We need to go to Romania.
I've got a VPN on my...
You've got a secret VPN.
If you can't get it on the screen, that's right. Just talk us through it, mate. Okay. We don't need
get
it.
Get on the dark web. We should get the dark web up.
Order some little boys.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry.
At first I thought you meant drunk, and then I thought, oh, okay. Yeah.
No, I said little boys.
No children.
Just a couple of little boys.
not in a weird way. You know what I mean? Just a couple of little boys to pass me grapes, man. Chill out.
Let's see how AI does a joke. So I've never used this ChatGTP.
I've used it before.
We're fucked if it's really good.
But this is it. I suppose
the argument for my Edinburgh show.
Can you just write? Give it a title. Mm. Give it a little background in yourself and say write an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to do that this year.
Right. What do you want to say?
Guaranteed. They'll do the show about
it. Yeah, good gimmick, wouldn't it? Yeah.
So say ChatGTP writes me a joke about a underwhelming blueberry. Sounds like a nice whimsical mid-2000s joke. You know what I mean? Bloke in a cardigan. I said bloke in a cardigan. I realised I've got a cardigan on.
I love a joke about someone's boring life every now and again.
Yes.
You know?
What, has it done it?
Yeah.
Right.
Why was the blueberry so underwhelming? Because it was just a little blue on the outside, but mostly bland on the inside.
Come on, that's all right, isn't
it? I mean, it actually is a joke. I mean, it does function as a
that
joke.
That is functional.
That's fucked. That actually did that in real time. Up. Pick another topic. Let's all write jokes.
But then it's all, you know what? That's a bit joke book.
It's very joke book and shit, but like, at least it's the shape
of a joke. It's an encyclopedia,
isn't it? Start
the joke
with a question and then give the answer, and the answer's funny.
All right, how about this?
But I did put underwhelming in it.
How about a short story about an underwhelming blueberry? See what it comes up with that. Fuck.
A funny short story?
Yeah, a funny short story about an underwhelming blueberry.
That's a big... I couldn't do that with my brain.
Story.
You couldn't? Right.
Well, not quickly.
Because, I mean, this... Obviously, if it's a long story, we're fucked. But, like, it's... I don't understand how it works. How does
I don't know
work?
How
I
do it.
That was
it samples like things from online. It will take a minute to load. So it samples
and then it will blend
online.
In
how
your
long
and
would
then
it take you to write an Edinburgh show if you were just doing that?
Just doing what?
Just writing the Edinburgh show.
It depends. Like, you know, I can't. I'm not someone of these people that can sit and just write an hour like that. Mine is. I'm much more muse on it, guys. over the course of
it's writing quite
months.
A long short story. I'll be honest.
Is it?
It's writing a tale about a blueberry called Benny. It seems really? Quite generic. It's reading like a child's story about a blueberry.
Okay.
Sounds nice.
But yeah, it's very long, actually.
Okay, can you give us the first few, maybe a first paragraph?
Okay, once upon a time, in a land filled with plump, juicy berries, there was a small, unassuming blueberry named Benny. Benny was born into a family of large, succulent blueberries, but from a young age, it was clear he was different. He was smaller than his siblings, and his skin was pale, outwashed blue.
This is good. This is good.
This is about me. Do you want me to keep going?
A little bit more. Just someone here.
Despite his shortcomings, Benny was determined to make a name for himself. He spent every day practicing his plumping technique.
Shot his school up.
No matter how
Benny
hard
he went into his school and shot every bully and every hot girl in the classroom.
No matter how hard he tried, he couldn't seem to grow any bigger. One day, Benny's family was picked up by a group of berry hunters and taken to the farmer's market to be sold. Benny's heart sank as he saw the other berries around him. Plump raspberries, shiny blackberries, and even a few oversized blueberries.
Oh, God.
He knew he didn't stand
Benny
a chance.
Benny was a racist.
He didn't get on with the blackberries. But as fate would have it, a kind old woman walked by and saw Benny sitting all alone. She felt sorry for the small blueberry and decided to take him home with her.
This was Myra Hindley.
The woman was a baker and decided to use Benny in her famous blueberry muffins. To everyone's surprise, Benny's small size and unique flavour made the muffins even more delicious. Soon the woman's bakery...
I mean, this is good, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Soon the woman's...
Underwhelming blueberries, quite specific.
Yeah, that was a good story.
Yeah, it goes on to become Benny's muffins. And then from then on, Benny was no longer seemed underwhelming as a blueberry, but as a unique and special ingredient in the most delicious muffins in town.
Wow. So inspiring.
That's great.
You are the blueberry.
Blueberry.
Hi, everybody. That's the end of the public episode.
Thanks for listening. Now, if you would like to hear more, you can go over to patreon.com/...
We are TVI. You have to put it in the search bar.
Because we still haven't taken it off adult content.
Because it's triple X.
It's dirty. Filthy.
Nice.
Get your willies out when you listen. But yeah, go over to Patreon, sign up. What's the tiers? I can't remember what it is. Three?
We've got £3, £5, £10 and £20.
I mean, the 20 is a joke one. £10 is sort of a joke as well. £3 gets you just all the back catalogue of extra episodes and
hours and hours.
I don't know how I'm 100
hours
extra sort of episodes. The £5 tier, you get all that as well. But you also, if you wish, get to join the TVI WhatsApp group. And
you can also see the full episode or listen to the full episode with a £3 tier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
£5 gets you the WhatsApp group.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Excellent. That's it. That's all you need to know. Get over to Patreon if you want more.
Thanks for listening.
Otherwise, just thanks for listening to the public episode. And we'll
please like and share.
Yeah, give it a share, mate. Tell your friends. Tell your families. Tell your kids. Bye-bye.
Love you.
Not the diet of AIDS in man.